Hey, surprise. You're thinking, is the sermon already in the service? What's going on around here today? All kinds of stuff. We got confetti cannons and this kind of stuff going on. Man, I'll tell you what. Yes, the sermon is a little bit early in the service today. We're going to have a lot more coming up near the end of the service. So I just want to say surprise. Here we are. Hope you're awake. If you're not awake after that, I don't know if you'll ever be awake. Man, I love how we have gotten together already and been able to worship the Lord together, being able to fellowship together. I mean, we've, you know, shaken hands. You've gotten to know people around you. We've seen some characters up here on stage, you know, just kind of. What is worship to you? I mean, what does it mean? I mean, when we say worship, what does that mean? I mean, hopefully you know what that word means. If you don't, you can kind of lean over and ask your neighbor, all right? Just go, hey, what's he talking about? You know, this, because you got up this morning, got in your car, you were brave enough to drive all the way here to CCW and enter into the building, sit down in a chair, and began what we call a worship service. Worship. So what does that even mean? Well, the Bible word for worship is, it means to bow down. It means to pay honor to God. So together, all together this morning, we have gathered together collectively as a group to bow down and to worship, to honor the Lord who made all of us, the Lord that we love so much and that loved us first. That's worship. And it happens through all kinds of ways. We've sang this morning already. We've had some worship with the band. We've had fellowship. When we worship, we sometimes do it through prayer, right? I mean, y'all, you know, you pray, yes, prayer is part of worship. We pray during communion time, which we will do later at the end of the service. Communion around the Lord's table, all of that is worship. And another way that we worship is a way that we've been talking about over the last number of weeks, and that is through our giving, through our offerings. Now, I don't know if you've considered that a part of worship or not, but today I just kind of want to introduce you to that idea and let you know that really we do give and we do generously offer God our hearts to Him, our songs to Him, our time to Him, our words to Him in prayer, and also of our resources. And that itself is also a way to bow down and to pay honor to God. You know, as we wrap up this cost series, we've talked about the cost of following Jesus. We talked about the challenge to give generously. We talked about the obstacles and the treasures. We talked about the value and the investment involved in the cost. But above all else, when we think about giving generously, we should think about it as worship. As worship. Well, today we're going to look at a story about the cost of giving in worship from the book of Matthew. We've been in that the entire series. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 16. Now, as we read this, understand this is a true story that was recorded with different details also in the book of Mark chapter 14 and the book of John chapter 12. So we have this account in three different books of the New Testament, three authors, all inspired by the Holy Spirit to tell this story and show us this example of how giving is a way to worship God. Now, this story takes place just a couple days before the holiday of Passover. This was when Jesus would enter into a crowded Jerusalem for the final time. You see, very soon he would be arrested, he'd be tried, he would be persecuted and crucified for all of our sins. This is shortly before all of that happens. But for now, he and his disciples are staying safely away from his enemies in a town just 2 miles away called Bethany. Bethany. And Jesus at this time, he's enjoying a meal surrounded by a bunch of his friends. And something really amazing happens. So as we read the story, what I'd like you to do is just kind of see if you can pick out some things. See if you can pick out two people in the story who worship. See if you can pick out two objects in which they worship with and the two different types of worship that are actually going on in the story. Okay? Let's see if you can do it. Matthew 26, 6 through 16. Here's how it goes. It says, while Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. So they ate back then, you know, kind of laying down and reclining at the table together. Just kind of picture that. Verse 8, when the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Well, aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Verse 14, and then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. And then on, from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. You see the two people in the story? The two people who worship? Well, the first one we see is this woman. This woman. John chapter 12 tells us that this woman's name is Mary. Mary. She's been with Jesus for a while now, along with her brother Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead, and her sister Martha. And in the room that day, that night, was the 12 disciples. One of those 12 disciples was another character, our second character. His name is Judas Iscariot. And when Mary and Judas worship, it's with two different objects. The first one we see is with Mary. It's a jar of perfume. It says here that this jar was made of alabaster. Alabaster. Now, this isn't an alabaster jar. This is close. But that picture up there, which I'll show you, is a picture of an alabaster jar from Jesus' time. It was filled with pure spikenard ointment inside of the jar, and it was worth 300 denarii, the Bible would tell us. A denarii was worth about a day's wage. So inside of this alabaster jar was about a year's wages worth of perfume, of this oil. The other object we see is with Judas. It's a bag of coins, or 30 silver coins. This money was taken by Judas from the chief priests in exchange for turning Jesus over to them. And these coins, they might have been worth a month's wages. We don't really know what they were worth, but not very much. But they point to a whole different type of worship. So we have two objects and two different types of worship, two different people. And they all tell us a little bit about how we might worship God as well through our giving. The first one is Mary. Mary, she shows us that one way to worship Jesus is by giving. By giving. And this is done by pouring out, giving to Jesus. We see this in all three of the accounts, Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John chapter 12. When Mary gives, she just pours out. And when she does so, it is extravagant. Extravagant giving. It is like over the top. Literally over the top of Jesus. She just pours it out. In fact, her jar was probably in such a way that she would have had to break the top off of it in order to pour it over him. Extravagant, all out worship. And this wasn't a tithe. It wasn't 10% of her oil. Jesus didn't even ask for it. She just did it out of worship. In fact, a few drops of this would have been more than enough to pay honor and to worship Jesus. But Mary, out of sheer unbridled worship, love, pours this whole jar of expensive perfume all over Jesus' head. The disciples, they don't understand. They don't get it because why? This isn't practical. It's not practical at all. In fact, that's the point. It's extravagant. What an example of what our giving to Jesus can be, because Jesus is worth all that we could possibly give him. We also see in Mary's worship that it was personal. It's very, very personal. You see, Mary, especially a woman in the first century, she's in the room and she doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Jesus is all that she cares about. I mean, you think about it. Mary could have brought a song. You know, she could have said, strike up the band, you know, bring up the guitar. No, she didn't do any of that. She could have sat at Jesus' feet just like she had back in Luke chapter 10. But now, at this point in the story, Jesus is about to die, and her worship is getting real. It is getting intimate. It is personal now. Personal. Extravagant. See, Mary's pouring out worship is a powerful example to all of us, especially when it comes to counting to cost and giving to God. You see, Mary had a kingdom focus. That focus was on Jesus alone. That's all she cared about in that room that day, and she poured out to him. Mary had a kingdom attitude. We've been talking about this throughout the whole series, and that attitude was displayed by her generosity. And she had a kingdom action. It was giving. Giving. So following the example of Mary with our worship, what can we learn? Well, if you're like me, you read through this passage, we got to ask ourselves a question. And how can we, individually and as a group, in extravagant and personal ways, pour out, drench Jesus with our worship for what he's done for us? How can we pour out to him our offerings in a way that he might say of us, like he said of Mary that day, she has done a beautiful thing to me. He has done a beautiful thing to me. She has done, they, CCW, you, me, us, have done a beautiful thing to me. You'll praise God today because some of you have been giving your abilities and your time and your money weekly here to the work of God for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, faithfully worshiping God. You talk about extravagant giving. Thank you for that. Thank you for what you do and how you offer. Your pouring out in worship has helped build God's kingdom here and around the world in amazing, amazing ways. You have truly done, truly, and continue to do a beautiful, beautiful thing to him. Thank you so much for that. Well, today we don't have alabaster jars. You wouldn't have, you know, the kind of perfume that Mary had that day to pour out. I mean, actually, that would be kind of weird and smelly anyways. You know, we don't want to do that. But one way that we can worship God is by giving extravagantly and personally to Jesus. And I want to encourage you today to pour out worship by giving to the Lord, maybe in a whole new way. Here's how. In your bulletin today, you're going to see some things that may be a little bit different. They're bright yellow, so you can't miss them. But I want you to take a look at these commitment cards. And it's just maybe one way you can take home and consider and pray about a way that you can give extravagantly and personally to Jesus. These cards are, again, it's something that you can pray about. It says on the instructions there that this is an act of worship to God. Just take this card home, pray over it. There's a picture on the screen as well. And make one of the following decisions. Again, as you walk into the room and think about what Jesus has done for you. And then keep this card. This is just between you and God. We're not going to collect these, but there is a second copy here. So if you want to fill that out and give it to a prayer partner or a mentor to kind of help hold you accountable and pray for you, then this entire thing is for you, but it's between you and God. And here's some of the decisions that you can make. It starts out this way. It says, I am committed to excel in my generosity and giving. I will cheerfully and faithfully worship God with the resources that he has entrusted to me in the following ways. And here's some of your choices. For some, it is just to begin giving regularly to CCW, to begin. Maybe you're not doing that right now. It's something you want to experiment with. Begin a system or a plan to start giving regularly. Or maybe it's to begin steps towards the goal of tithing. You're learning about tithing. You grab that stewardship challenge. You're starting to study this, and you just want to set a goal, maybe of a few percent of your income, a little bit more, and work your way up to maybe box number 3 there. To begin tithing, to actually start giving 10%, that biblical way of honoring God with our finances, to begin tithing. Or maybe today, you've been tithing for years, and maybe a way of worshiping extravagantly and personally for you would be to increase your regular giving to CCW. Or if you're in a spot this morning where you think, I just don't get this, I don't understand this, maybe today you would seek financial guidance or counsel to help me grow my heart and my steps towards giving generously. And if you fill out that box, I want to encourage you to make a phone call, to go back to your small group, talk to your leader, talk to the disciple maker that's close to you in your life, or call the office and make sure that we can help you with that step, because we are equipped to do that. We want to do that. So this card, It's a very real, I think a very personal way for you to take home today and to just worship and pray over and think about how God might accept that worship from you. Mary poured out her jar of perfume as an example of worship. And we can follow her example with a commitment, maybe like this, to pour out and worship with our resources as well. But there's another example in our story today. It's in verses 14, 15, and 16, and the example is Judas and this bag of coins, silver coins, 30 of them. It's the worship of taking, not giving, but taking. You remember that? What did Judas do in our story? We read about it in verses 14 through 16. We see it in Mark chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, and over in John 12, verses 4 through 6, that Judas seemed to worship the take. He seemed to worship the money, even while following Jesus as a disciple. In fact, John, in his book, chapter 12, calls him out for that waste of money comment that he made about the poor. That was Judas. He also says that he was embezzling money from the group treasury. So for whatever reason, Judas wasn't a giver, he was a taker. For him, worship is not about what he can pour out on Jesus like Mary did, but what he could get from Jesus, or even worse, for Jesus, as he turned him over to the Pharisees. And this type of worship is selfishness. We see it in Judas. 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Judas betrayed the man who he followed for 3 years, who he saw love people, heal people, do miracles, teach, and live a perfect life like only God could do. This was Jesus. Jesus loved Judas, and Judas was a disciple of Jesus. But in the end, it was all about Judas. It was about what he could take for himself. Maybe he was afraid. That's where this word scarcity comes in. He worshiped this idea of fear, of not having, the scarcity mentality. It's worshiping the take, but also being afraid of giving away because we never have enough to be content. There's always more. We got to take because we never know if God's going to provide or not. Selfishness and scarcity led Judas to betray Jesus and ask of the chief priests, listen to this question. What are you willing to give me? What are you willing to give me? Do you see it? See, his focus was on himself, not Jesus like Mary was. This attitude, it wasn't a kingdom attitude of giving. It was an attitude of greed, not generosity. And the action was taking, it was getting, not giving. Maybe today we have a lot to learn from Judas. And like Mary, like Judas in this story, we can worship God by pouring out generously. Or we can worship ourselves by taking for ourselves. You know, in Mark's edition of the story, Jesus looks at Mary. I love this. He looks at Mary and he says, she did what she could. Flip over and read it. She did what she could. That's worship. We can learn from Mary. We can learn from Mary as a people, as a church, as individuals, as I look in the mirror and you do as well, to be a people who worship God by doing what we could. Would God say that about us? Our community, the world around us? Hey, they did what they could. On a gut level, I think this begins by asking two simple questions. Will I worship Jesus more than things, more than money, more than myself? Or will I worship things? Will I worship money? Will I worship myself more than Jesus? We need to count the cost. Who do you want to be known as? Mary or Judas? When it comes to giving, pouring out, worshiping Jesus with our resources. You know, today I want to end the series with a little bit something special because, you know, this story, you know, it happened 2,000 years ago. And you might be asking yourself, how does this look today? How does this look right now? So what I've done is I want to invite three of my friends to come up to the stage and kind of answer some questions to give you an idea of what this looks like on a real life basis. These are three of our elders, and I want to tell you they're not perfect. We're all still trying to figure this out together, but I tell you what, when it comes to worshiping God with resources. I think these guys get it, like many of you do as well. And probably I could have pulled in 20 or 30 of you on stage this morning. But right now I want to invite to the stage some dear friends are going to share with you some pretty cool things. The first one is Al Sheresy. Al, come on up, Al. All right. Al Sheresy is one of our new elders. He and his wife, Pam, they've been coming to CCW for years now and just have an amazing story. I hope you get to know Al, you know, not just from what he says up here today, but on a regular basis. Vietnam veteran, it's here for Al. Good job, Al. Yep, thank you for that. Leads a couple small groups. Helps out in a lot of ways around here in great ways, and he's got some things he's going to share with you. Thank you. This is Phil Merrill. Phil, come on up, Phil. He's one of our new elders as well. Phil and his wife, Kim, they've been here for years. You can move your stools around. Trying to be a good host here. Phil and Kim have been coming for years and years and through a lot of ups and downs in ministry. I know he's helped a lot of people here with marriage care and other things, and I just really appreciate him as a friend and the way he invests his life in others. He's got three kids. In fact, Brittany may be in this service, or she may be serving in the back, but Brittany's here today, and he's got two sons that are doing ministry in other places in the country, so Phil, appreciate it. And Dave McGrew. Dave, in the middle here. Yep. Well, I guess I don't have a stool. Oh, don't worry about it. I can work. Huh? I don't know. I just ruined your introduction. What? This little guy? All right. How many of y'all know Dave McGrew here in the middle? Dr. McGrew, his wife Dawn. And I just appreciate Dave and his wisdom and his passion for Jesus, and he gives in ways you'll never, never know around here. But he's been here at CCW probably longer than all of us combined. That's a lot.
You're a dinosaur.
Make about sense, I'm not sure. All right. Man, I'm just going to ask a couple questions, and you'll kind of see how this translates out, this whole idea of worshiping and counting the cost on a daily basis. So, Al, I want to start with you and just ask, you know, as we go through this story and think about what it means to give extravagantly and worship God, how does this, like, make sense in your life, being where you've come from, being the kind of, you know, with, you know, maybe with your income, you know, as far as your time and your money and your abilities, how does this make sense to you?
Well, Joe, I actually have two answers. Mm-hmm. First one, after I retired from the Army, I was working as a line cook at a restaurant in northern Michigan, our hometown. And one day, we listened to the local radio station, and they had a DJ for the day contest because one of the DJs was going on vacation. I said, I want to try it. Something I always wanted to do. So I won the contest, and I sat in for a day. And 2 days later, the owner and general manager of the station called me in, and they said, you know, we want to fire the guy that you replaced that day. You want a job. So I said, yeah, okay, I'll take the job. And I did it. It was something I always wanted to do. I loved music. It was an oldie station, my kind of music. And I did that for about 10 years, bounced around a few stations. And then technology took over. And computers took over. And we would go in on a Monday morning and do a live show on Monday morning. But while the music was playing and breaks and things, we were in another room recording the programming for the rest of the week. So we're actually giving the boss 20 to 30 hours worth of work for the week, but only getting paid for the one day. And I said, well, this ain't working. I guess my days in radio are done. And so they were, and a couple of years later, Pam and I moved down here to Florida. And I said, well, not much going on here. I'm just kind of hanging out, and we're living off my military pension. And one day I'm scrolling through Facebook, and I see this advertisement or this banner go by for Vietnam Vet Radio. And I checked it out. I said, huh, my kind of music again. And I listened for a while, and I chatted with the guy that was running the station. It had just started. It had only been about 5 months old at the time. And we started talking on the phone and found out him and I were stationed at the same airfield at the same time, different units. And he's a Christ follower. He's a retired Baptist minister. And as we talked, he said, have you ever thought about doing anything in radio? And I, well, as a matter of fact. So he offered me a position. It's a volunteer, but it's a ministry. And I'm in my fifth year now, and I do a daily show every day, Monday through Friday. It's called the Jukebox Vault, and we played music from 55 to 75. And it's, my show is basically music history. I look at the whatever happened that day and play the songs of that day. Like I said, I'm now in the fifth year. We are a ministry because we are the only Vietnam radio station, Vietnam vet radio station, that we have chapel services on Sunday evenings. In fact, starting this evening, I've been asked to start doing weekly devotionals on that. And we have praise music when we're here on Sunday mornings. And it's all about healing. We're trying to, those of us that were in Vietnam, the only thing we had to relate to the rest of the world was the music that we listened to. And so that brings about the healing. In fact, I've got one couple that live in Missouri that every week ask me what our small group is studying. And they in turn study it and ask me questions back and forth. So last month we had 500,000 listeners in 83 different countries.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
So yeah. This is, it's just growing tremendously. And then in the second part of your question.
So that's in regards to your, like, I mean, you think about your abilities and how God just gave you that small kind of.
Yeah, I look back now and I realize that training that he gave me years ago in radio was to bring me to this ministry right now, and to be able to do the things that he allows me to do. And it's all about him. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing I do. I just sit there and play the music and let the Holy Spirit say, okay, today you're praying with these folks. Today you're, for instance, last week, one day in 1971, Judy Collins had the number one song, and it just happened to be Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. I get to play it. I get to play it. I've got people I know that I chat with every day from the Netherlands, from Australia, from New Zealand, all around the United States. God gives me the opportunity to share this with them, mm-hmm. and I can't thank him enough for that.
Yeah, cool. Yep, neat. Good. Yeah, appreciate you doing that. Yeah, for sure.
Now for the second part.
Okay.
Talking about tithing. Like I said, when Pam and I first started coming to church here, the only thing we had was my military pension. And if you know military pay, a pension is 50% of what I was making, so you know it's not a lot. And we weren't tithing when we first started. And we felt convicted about it. And we finally decided, you know what, we got to trust. We got to put our faith in God and give him his 10%. And we prayed about it, we thought about it, we figured it out. We said, okay, if we have to give up something, then so we do. But we started tithing. And it was like 4 weeks later. This was probably, seven, 8 years ago, Pam? About 4 weeks later, we had a phone call from Kathy, who said, you know what? We just had a custodian quit. Would you and Pam like a job? Pam's been here now 7 years. I quit. Now, wait a minute. I quit because I was asked to homeschool my grandson, plus I was still doing the radio gig. So, but Pam is still here. But once we began tithing, God answered that tithe with a job, and it took our income up tremendously, almost about 75%, just by being obedient. And when you tithe, you're just giving back what he gave us in the first place. So he'll answer you. He'll give back to you what you've given to him.
Yep. And I love that story because you didn't do that in order to get anything.
No.
Yeah, you just did it because
out of worship. It was conviction. You had to be obedient.
And apparently it was something worth
it. It was well worth it.
Appreciate that. Yep. Al's done his share of cleaning up after us around here. I tell you that right now, so don't sell him, short on that. You know. So, yeah. What? Oh, the confetti. Yeah, Brody's. You have to go to forgive him. Man, thanks, Al. And Phil, I know giving, is, especially as you know, Al mentioned a couple things, but as far as challenges, like I know you've probably faced some challenges when it comes to giving and investing and worshiping God with. With your resources as well. Can you think of any that really stand out?
Yeah, I think when we're talking about investing, we're talking about time, we're talking about talent, we're talking about resources, time, talent, treasures. And I think we all struggle with that, right? I mean, we're busy, we're running around, kids, school. I'm going to Bible college, so there's not a lot of time sometimes, and that's a struggle sometimes to give to that, and using the talent kind of goes with that, with ministry and stuff. And then resources, you know, not everybody here is really super wealthy, and it's tough sometimes. We have to trust God with our resources, and those resources they're His, they're not ours. And all throughout my life, I've just noticed how God always meets my needs according to His riches and glory. And even when I'm struggling, I know that that first part is God's, and it's all His, but that first part is what He's asking me to give to Him. And every time I am obedient there, things work out well. But when I'm not obedient, things just don't seem to work out so well. And I don't think that's a mistake. I think that's how God has called us to do things, is when we're obedient, then we get what He promises, right? I mean, God promises. He never lies. He does what He says He's going to do. And I think that's just been a big thing in Kim and my life, as we've done that, as we've noticed that. We've had times we've been disobedient and we've suffered the consequences. And what's cool is when we're being obedient, that's when God seems to do all the blessings, and it's just like, okay, God, I get it. And after about hitting my head against the wall about 15 times that way, and I finally get it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you've been, you know, you've had times when you've had a lot. You've had times when you've had next to nothing, like maybe now. I don't know. I mean, I know, yeah. You know, you've quit your job in order to pursue ministry, and now Kim is, you know, doing a great job in nursing and, you mm-hmm. know, and helping kind of support the family. And, you know, were you afraid or nervous or I mean?
You know, I think being in my own business for years and seeing God meet all the needs all the time there, I was nervous, but I knew God was faithful in what He was calling me to do and that He would provide. And He's done that so many times in my life, just when I've needed it, just when, man, Lord, what are You going to do here? I'm struggling, and God will just provide. And it's just amazing things where you know it's no coincidence. It's God's provision.
Yeah, awesome, Phil. Thanks. Yeah, I know He's done that through people, through the church, through relationships, and just sometimes with surprises. So, yeah, thank you. And we kind of wrap this up and think about, man, what's this mean for us on a life-to-life basis? How do we live this out, Dave? I mean, challenge. What kind of challenge would you give us as a church when it comes to pouring out, to worshiping, to trusting God in our giving?
Well, I think it's important that we remember that God views our use of and our attitude towards all these things that Phil and Al are talking about as an issue of faith in Him. And we got to decide whether God's got a bigger shovel than we got. And then we have to act on it. So He says He's got an expectation. And the expectation isn't whatever you have left over. The expectation is the first and best 10%. That's the expectation. So as you look at your own life, your own giving, just as we as leaders in the church need to look at what this church does with the resources that come to this church, does what's happening in your life look like you have faith in God, or does it look like you have faith in your stuff? And if it looks like you have faith in your stuff, then you are missing out on what Phil was just talking about and what Al experienced and what I and others have experienced. Because when we decide to do it God's way, we get God's results. We don't do it to get, mm-hmm. but we get blessings when we do things God's way, when we start living in faith. Faith isn't just about believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith is about acting on what God has done for you and for me. And some of that is manifest in how we deal with our time and talents and treasures.
Yeah, I know you've seen that in a real life way with you and Dawn and your life. And I appreciate that. I appreciate your example. Appreciate you leading by example, all three of you, and in a great way. We don't know what we don't know what to expect from God. In fact, I think worship, true worship, and pouring out to God is to not expect anything at all, except for Him to deliver on His promises, which He always, always does. I think that's what's beautiful about this story that we just read, is that Mary didn't expect anything. She just worshiped because Jesus was worthy of that. And I see that in y'all's lives. I see that in the lives of so many others here today. And we don't want you to miss that blessing. that blessing of being able to give, to pour out, and to experience true worship from a, you know, open-handed, you know, open way. So, so yeah, guys, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that's really important to remember is that giving is between you and God. It's not between you and the church.
Yes.
It's not about you and the church. It's about you and God. It's not about what the church is doing with money. It's about what you are doing with your money. And so I think particularly as we recently announced that we've paid off the mortgage, some people thought, well, now I don't need to give anymore. No, that's not, because your giving wasn't about this building. It wasn't about this church. It's about doing what God expects of you. And then you need to trust the leaders are going to figure out how we use those dollars that are coming into this place in a way that brings glory and honor to God and does the things that matter to Him.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, Dave. Thank you. Let's hear it for these guys, and I appreciate that. Thanks. You know, on the screen, there's some next steps, and as we wrap up the series, thank you. Just remember, I mean, these are all ways that we can worship and trust God together. Finish that cost book if you've got it, man, the devotion book. It's a great week ahead as we look at this idea of worship together. Just a great thing. Here's some of those next steps. But before we leave today, and I just want to, man, I am so excited about one more opportunity that we have right now today, this morning, to pour out worship to Jesus. And that is through our India Kids offering. We've been announcing this for weeks. Some of you have already given online. You can still do that through our website or that QR code on the bulletin that Jesse told you about earlier. But right now, man, right now, as we begin to sing together, and again, we're going to have a Lord's Supper. We're going to sing praises to Jesus, our cornerstone, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He deserves all of our worship. So we don't just worship with our giving of resources. We don't just worship. Man, we're going to sing, and we're going to lift Him up. We're going to praise like never before here in the next couple of minutes. But one way you can worship today is there's some baskets at the back doors. And if you want to get up during the song and walk to the doors, you can. You can go there later, maybe on your way out, or maybe later on today if you'd like. But just want to encourage you today, if you brought that offering for those kids in India. Again, these kids are orphans, they're deaf, they're blind, and our money, the way we can share God's love with them will be through providing a water buffalo and some chickens and a structure to keep them in so that they can have milk and eggs and a learning opportunity for all of those kids there in India. And I am so excited because Wednesday, Lynn Wood and Chad and I are going to get on a plane and go over there to meet with Vivek and to present to him the love of CCW personally from you guys. And we're going to bring back a report to let you know just how much that's appreciated. I'm excited about that, and I hope you are too. So let's go ahead and stand together. And again, this is an offering time. It's a worship time. The band's going to sing. Let me pray, and then let's just worship God like never before. Jesus, we love you. God, I pray right now that you would just be drenched in our love, God. I pray that anything inside of us, everything inside of us would be given to you right now, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our words as we sing. And God, I pray that for those of us who are giving today, God, I pray that you will just bless this offering. God, bless those who have already given. And God, I pray that you would use the funds and use our love to change lives, because that's what this mission in India is doing with these kids. Lives are being changed. Education's being happened. They're learning about Jesus in a way that they never would if this mission didn't exist. So God, use us today, I pray. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your salvation. It's an honor to give back to you and to love you because you first loved us. It's in His name we pray. Amen.